This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Butler swings and sends one high into the air, deep left center field. Leote going back. He's onto the track. This one is just over the wall and into the A's bullpen. An opposite field grand slam for Lawrence Butler. And now it's a 7-1 lead for the Athletics.
Hixey with the call, and that is where the game ended. Rangers lose 7-1 at home to the Sacramento A's. And it continues. The offensive struggles continue. And it's not like they're not getting hits. It's not like they're not getting guys on base.
Oh, they're getting singles.
They're getting singles.
They got plenty of singles yesterday.
Plenty of singles.
No extra base hits.
9 hits in the game. 9 hits, 1 run. That's tough to see. That's tough. The old adage is 2 hits for every run.
2 hits.
Get them on, get them over, get them in. But that's just not the case of this team. It's not the case anymore in the sport. The sport doesn't like that. But it's 9 hits, 1 run is oof.
Yeah, I mean,
that's their season right there in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially lately. Early on, I mean, they were getting 3 hits in a game. But obviously, like, I mean, they've turned that around to an extent in terms of now they're at least getting, you know, they're collecting 10 hits in a game. It's not unusual for us to see, oh, they got 8-9 base hits. But the problem is everything is singles. They've lost
everything.
They don't have any power right now. Even the other night when they scored their 15 or whatever, they didn't have a single home run in that game. In fact, I'm trying to look. What's their homerless streak up to now? Because they've got to be up to... did they homer at all in the Giants series? I know they didn't in the last 2 games. But if they did in the first game... Yeah, I mean, we're talking about... It's the game against the Athletics when you were in Sacramento last week, the last time they hit a home run?
8 of their last 12 games, they've scored 2 runs or less. In 8 of their last 12.
It's not good. 6 straight games without a home run for the Rangers.
It is. They're averaging just over 3 runs a game. It's bad. It is bad news. And, you know, I don't want... School's still in, so I'm not looking at attendance yet. I'm not going to really delve into that. But, like, you know, if you're going to go out to the ballpark in the summer, I mean... They're a competitive team still. It's not like they're a bad team. You know they're going to be in these games.
It's not your night.
It's not your night.
They're a maddening team.
They're a maddening team. That's what they are. They've got a really solid pitching rotation. You know, the bullpen is inconsistent at times, especially when you get
really bad at the end of games. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But they just can't hit. They can't. How about this? They can't drive the ball. They can't drive the ball right now. And then, yeah. And then, you know, Seager not being there doesn't help.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's frustrating the fact that they can't seem to really sync anything up. You know, the fact that they are, like you said, they've been getting on base at a better clip lately. They're still, what, 20? I got to see what number they are in Major League Baseball. 27th in on-base percentage for the year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're starting to at least... hit the ball a little bit and get on base a little bit. It's you're not following through with runs.
Right. No, like, so third inning, you had second and third, one out, wide strikes out. Mm-hmm. That's a spot for him. He's your only hope right now.
Yeah.
He's really your only hope.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
When he gets up with men in scoring position, he's really got to drive him home. That's a must ball in play there by him. He can't strike out. It's a must ball in play.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about yesterday the fact that he is on pace over his last 45 games or whatever it is. He's on pace for 50 home runs. And despite getting 50 home runs or having that pace, he's also on pace for 104 RBIs. A guy who's hitting 50 home runs should not have just 104 RBIs.
No.
That means guys are not getting on base.
Means guys aren't on base. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a big problem. But, you know, they'll get a couple hits in an inning. And they're not able to get him over or get him in. And that's, you know, they did it with the Adolis single in, what, the fourth? which was their only run, it's a tough way to live. It's a tough way to live as a baseball team where you get a lot of hits, you never get them with guys in scoring position, and you're never replacing them at second base. You got a guy on second, trade spots with them.
Yeah. I mean, now, look, gosh, the most recent move, by the way, Wyatt Langford had been hitting really well. Do we need to start looking at, I know it's been two games, but is there any question about, like, maybe he's not comfortable in the leadoff spot? Because where's he up to now? He's 1-for-9.
That's too small of a sample, I think.
I know, but it's like you're talking about, he has not looked comfortable to me in two games hitting leadoff.
He has not. He has not looked that comfortable at all.
Now, obviously, like I said, you can't, or like you were just referencing, you can't have massive takeaways from a two-game sample size. It's too small, like you said. I'm just saying, the approach looks uncomfortable.
I like him. Him in the two-hole anyway.
Mm-hmm. He's hitting .482 in the two-hole this year, by the way.
To me, that's where the modern-day baseball team puts their best player, their best offensive players in the two-hole. That's just what the numbers kind of show.
Get somebody on base, two-hole drives them in,
right? That's what you really want. So I like him in the two-hole, but I get it right now. You want to get him the most at-bats. And over the course of a season, the leadoff hitter is going to get, like, I think it's like 18 or 19 more at-bats. So it's like one a week. It's like one at-bat a week extra than the two-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think it goes down to like 25 or 29 more at-bats than the guy in the three-hole. So, like, I have no problem with that, but I think just that him as the two is a much better spot for him to be in, because this takes away from what was another really nice performance from Nate Eovaldi.
Oh, Nate Eovaldi was great yesterday. Like, I mean, you're watching him; he's dealing, and you're just thinking, all right, good. The offense is struggling tonight, but the good news is you got Eovaldi on the hill, and he's dealing, and he's getting swings and misses, and he's being the guy that you've known him to be for the last 3 years. And then Luke Jackson comes in the ninth inning, and he's the guy that we've known for his entire career, that for some reason the Rangers thought was adequate enough to close baseball games for him this year. And this is obviously wasn't a closing situation.
No.
It was a 1-1.
And I'll tell you this. The norm is to bring him in.
I was going
to
say, are you going to give him a pass inning because somebody was on base?
It's not a pass.
He was going to put somebody on base anyway, Chop.
It's not a pass. It's not a pass necessarily, but.
No, a pass is what he was giving to the hitters.
You got to give these guys a clean inning. Everyone knows tie game at home, your closer comes in the ninth. That's just the reality. Tie game at home, you bring your closer in.
They've got a guy closing games for them right now who his career whip is 1.45.
That's not good.
As a closer.
That's not good. That's not good.
That's not acceptable.
That's not good at all.
6.55 ERA.
You don't bring guys in a situation where there's guys on base if you don't have to. It's just that's the preference. Every manager will tell you that's the preference. Here's Nate Eovaldi right now. He's 10th in ERA. He's 7th in strikeouts. And he's 1st in whip, walks and hits, walks plus hits to innings pitch. So 0.77 base runners that he allows per inning.
He's been fantastic. It's a damn shame that there's not an offense to consistently score runs for him, and that there's not a bullpen that can close it off.
A 2.11 ERA with that whip and those strikeouts should not be 2-2.
No, and I'll also tell you what, as I'm going to continue to just tee off on Luke Jackson. Oh,
go
my gosh!
He deserves it.
I can't wait for Jared Sandler at 8:20. Who was trying to give me hell when I said, can we please replace Luke Jackson? He's like, who do you want? Who do you want doing it?
Well, that's a fair question.
Literally anybody, a warm body. The thing Zach was dragging around the firehouse yesterday can close games. You can't have a 6.55 ERA, and I know that, let's take just the peripherals then. You can't have a 5.17 FIP. You can't have a 1.55 whip and lead Major League Baseball in games finished. That's ridiculous. That's not the guy that needs to be out there doing that for you.
I'm not going to argue that.
I just know that even when he's not going to blow saves, because what? He's got, how many blown saves does he have at this point? I think it's just one.
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was like two or three.
But see, that's the problem, is that he's coming in and he's lost these games and it's tied.
Yeah.
Or he'll lose the lead and then it's kind of changed. But he is 0-3 now. He's got 3 losses on his ledger through 30 games. Your closer can't lose one out of every 10 games for you.
No, they cannot.
It's a bad rate. It's a bad read. And this is somebody who, even when he saved games, even when he said, there's never clean innings. He's always putting somebody on base. Always.
Always. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong on that. He didn't get the loss last night, though. Garcia did.
No, I know. I'm just saying that in general, he's already got three losses, and then we already know he kind of lost that one last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why, because Garcia was a pitcher of records. He allowed the first runner on. But yeah, he's not a closer. That's a decision. So the question now is, like, you know, we are not close to the deadline. We are not close. We are 3 months away. But is it right? 3 months, May, June. Yeah, 3 months away. But closer or an offensive piece?
An offensive piece is number one still, because you've got it. Like, last night, it didn't matter. It was 1-1. You were still tied. You still needed to be able to score runs. But I don't understand why. I cannot understand for the life of me why didn't Chris Young want to bring back Kirby Yates?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Like, I mean, is it just they didn't want to?
Robertson's still out there, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't think anybody picked him up.
I don't understand why Kirby Yates.
I was on my honeymoon.
I don't know why Kirby Yates was just somebody that they didn't have interest in bringing back. So yeah, David Robertson is still out there.
Man. Just go get him.
Have either one of them pitch. I'd prefer it over Luke Jackson. I would prefer whoever. Throw whoever you want out there. Throw Mike Moroth out there to close claims for.
Moroth,
yeah. The all-time loser for the Detroit Lions. That's a reference for Cleanwater Jake in there.
I don't know if he's paying attention. He's sitting there. Is he smiling? No, he's not smiling.
That's just because he remembered Mike Moroth losing 20 games. Remember Mike Moroth? Yeah, that's what it was.
So Rangers fall 7-1 to the formerly, I know Raymond called them the Oakland A's last night in the broadcast.
I keep calling them Oakland. Even when we've referenced it on air, I'll say, when they went to Oakland or they went to the Bay Area. Yep. It's like, well, no, they actually didn't.
So they have dropped the first two of the four game set. Sorry, they've dropped two of the first three of the four game set. Final game, they try to get the split today. It's a day game. So K&C got half a show. G-Bag got half a show.
Cross your fingers for a 2-0 victory.
Yep, it'll be a 1 o'clock pregame, 1:35. First pitch. We'll have Jared Sandler today.
Yeah, man. Yep, we will. 8:20. We also have Todd Archer at 7:20.
Todd Archer at 7:20. As you know, look, they're going to try to get the split here, but it's all about the offense. It's all about the offense. Nasty Nate was fantastic. DeGrom the day before was fantastic. They'll have Malley today going on the hill. You can get into the game. Tickets as low as $4.
Look at that.
It's a school day.
But that you may be paying more than the Rangers will actually score in runs at that point still.
That's a fair point. What's higher, the ticket total for you to get into this game or the Rangers runs? I said 8 of the last 12 games they've scored 2.
I think if you score fewer runs than that $4, they should give you the difference back. So if they score 2 runs today, they should, on your way out of the ballpark, give you $2 back for your $4 ticket.
Good news is that Colorado is here in a couple of weeks, and that is the worst team in the sport, maybe the worst team ever.
They beat the Braves the other day, though. They were able to prevent themselves from having the worst 30-game start in the history of baseball or whatever it was.
They have 4 or 5 wins. They have 5 wins. Mm-hmm. 5 of 25 or something like that. It's a crazy number. They're awful. Sean and RJ here at 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Hill. Peyton and Aiden alongside. Did you survive the storms? Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. During Neighborhood Watch, we're going to talk about the storms leaving Anna.
Yes.
That was
that was scary because you were right.
You were saying there was going to – you were like – man, we might get a tornado here. Like, walking, I was like, no, we won't. And then I, like, get in the car and I look, and in my rear view, I see a power flash.
Yeah, I was in front of me.
It was over by the Sonic or whatever.
It was in front of me. I was at the stoplight when I saw that. When we were leaving the parking lot, my truck, the back of it slid. Like, I thought, oh my God, did I just get nipped by a tornado?
Yeah, no, it was intense. There were some bad storms yesterday.
A nader got me. How would you handle your kid costing you $100K? We get you set for Stars, Avs, and the Lukers are out. Next to the Fan.
The clock winding down, and the horn sounds here in L.A., and the Timberwolves have defeated the Lakers 103-96. They close out the series in 5 games. And for the first time in franchise history, the Timberwolves have advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs in back-to-back seasons.
Whoa, that's Timberwolves radio with the call. Minnesota beating the Lakers 103-96. They close them out in five, a 4-1 series victory. Sean and RJ here, 105 through the fan. Sean's back next week. I'm RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside the payload coming up in 19 minutes.
Well,
excited about that one, as always.
Yeah, this first off, what a weird flex. Yes, the Timberwolves, what a historic moment. They advanced for the first time in back-to-back. I thought he was about to say they advanced to the second round. I'm like, that's not true. What is he possibly setting up here as some historic moment for the Minnesota Timberwolves? This is a bad series for the Lakers.
It's very bad.
They got dominated by size in game five. Oh. Yeah, Gobert, what did he put up, 28 and 24?
I think it was 27, 24.
My gosh.
He was tremendous. And look, you lose a game like this where Ant did not come. I mean, he did not have his best game.
No, 0-11 from three.
He could not buy a bucket. He had one of those, like, he had one of those Jordan games where Jordan would go like 5-for-20. The difference is Jordan would go like 13-of-15 from the line and still find his way to 30 points.
Yeah, what was
Ant didn't do that. Well, my chair just fell.
Maybe Chop was talking about these chairs earlier and how one of them doesn't raise up as high as he used to.
Somebody broke it. Somebody, on the honeymoon, I come back and the chair doesn't go to the proper height. Either that or somebody took it in Peyton's studio.
I think that's possible. I think that's possible there.
You want the purple seat chair? Is that what you
did? Does it go high?
Oh, it goes high.
See, sometimes. Let me ask you this. Is there a paper towel on the butt side of it? That's how I knew this one was mine. Go look on the butt side, right behind the...
Peyton is checking his butt right now.
Is there a paper towel in there?
He's looking.
No.
No. But somebody could have taken it out. Like you mentioned, it's funny. When you said Jordan would have these games, I always remember the one that stood out to me was the clincher against the Sonics when the Bulls won in 96. He shot 5 of 19, but to your point, he also went 11 of 12 from the free
exactly,
throw.
Right? I mean, that's just his game. That was some of his playoff games. And, you know, Ant had essentially the same exact, you know, line, except, you know, he didn't have nearly the free throws. He only had, 8 attempts. He was 5 of 8, but he wasn't great. The point is, if you're the Lakers, you have to win a home game when their best player doesn't have a great night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be it. But if you're simultaneously letting Rudy Gobert become an offensive force and score more points in that one game than he had scored in the first four combined and out-rebound you basically by himself, then, yeah, you got an issue. I mean, if you look at just – if you take just Ant and Gobert, they were even with the Lakers in rebounding last night.
Just Ant and Gobert.
Yeah, because Minnesota absolutely dominated them on the glass. And this is what happens when – like the Lakers, we talked about it. You remember after the Luka trade, they went out and they tried to make the trade for the big man. And they were trying to get more size, and they had to play a lot of really small ball. I mean, last night you had LeBron in there. You had Dorian Finney-Smith. Dodo was playing some bigger minutes. You know, they've obviously had to use at different points. They had Kleba back for 5 minutes in this game.
Oh, wow.
Five
whole minutes.
It made a difference in those 5 minutes. They were only minus one.
JJ's getting, he walked out. He stormed out of his post game.
Boy, he's a baby.
He kind of is. Listen, you brought this on yourself. In game four, you did not make a substitution in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Your guys were obviously gassed. And then you're sitting here, you're going to sit and call their conditioning. Yeah, man, they played 24 minutes out of 24 minutes in the second half. Of course their conditioning's off, right? They're not supposed to do that.
Did Redick ever play 24 minutes in his career, like in a game?
Single game.
Probably not.
You know, and then last night, he obviously did go to the bench in the second half, right? I mean, Finney-Smith only played 11 minutes in the second half, but here's Luka with 20 minutes, and here's LeBron with 20 minutes.
Luka got in some foul trouble early, too, though. So, like, I mean, he didn't have to play the same 46-minute run that he did the last time, but... Yeah, this is just it was bad. I felt like bad lineup management the whole way for Redick.
He was too scared. He only played three guys off the bench yesterday. The same thing happened in game four. He was basically just
which rotations do shrink.
They do shrink.
But this is a 7-man rotation basically because Maxey played 5 minutes. That's really tight.
Right. Yeah.
With a 40-year-old and a guy who's been out of shape at times.
Been out of shape at times. So it was really, you're playing a seven-man rotation with the other, like you said, with the other guy playing 5 minutes, make it eight. Naz Reid played more minutes in the second half than Maxey did the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a tough spot. It's a learning situation for JJ.
Did you hear the ridiculous LeBron quote after the game about playing without a center, though?
I did not.
So LeBron is basically the biggest guy on their team. Like, he essentially has to play center. I mean, they've got bigger guys, but the biggest guy in their rotation. So this has been an issue. They all talked about they felt like they needed to get bigger. They needed more size. Anthony Davis had brought it up. Hey, we need a legit center here before he got traded away. LeBron was asked last night about the challenge of playing without a big, a consistent big in the rotation, and boy, he zipped his lips.
No comment. I'll never say that because my guy AD said what he needed, and then he was gone the following week, so I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had, and that's all that matters.
That is not why Anthony Davis was traded.
Not why he was traded.
The way he says that, like, can't possibly speak on that. I might get traded.
Yeah.
Because Anthony Davis was traded basically for saying it. I mean, I guess it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but he does say it almost seriously. Like, boy, you saw what happened when he spoke up. It's like, no, he got traded because Nico Harrison came to him with the worst trade offer of all time, and it involved Anthony Davis.
Yeah. He was also asked if he is going to call it, if he's going to play next year, is he going to call it a career? He's also asked that question.
How many more years will we see you play?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group, and kind of just talk through it and see what happens. And then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play. I don't know the answer to that right now, to be honest. So we'll see.
He's back.
He's not gonna go out like this.
I do think it'll be his last year.
I do too. He's gonna want to give it a full season, full off season with Luka. You know, maybe he can look Luka. I guarantee you, if you want Luka to succeed there, you better hope LeBron comes back. Otherwise, it's Luka's team, and he'll just go back to doing what he was doing here, which
got him to the NBA Finals.
Got him to the NBA Finals, dear God. But also got him traded.
He shouldn't have been traded.
But you know what I mean? Like,
there was a lot of, who's Nico vindicated?
Yeah, it's no, like, Nico's not vindicated because Nico's still...
Trust in Nico.
Nico has nothing. The Mavs don't have a team.
They don't. They haven't had a team at a bunch of different points, but Luka was always right. Their team.
So were you watching this series and watching the Lakers as if they were your own kind of thing, right? Were you following it? Were you following Luka? No, I don't want to say as close because it's never going to be as close.
It was
close. Were you following it like he's still one of your own?
I was. I mean, I'm rooting. Like, he was connected to this franchise for, I mean, not just obviously for as long
877-881-1053 on the Frankel injury returns fan text. Hit us up.
Yeah, let us know how you were feeling about it. I mean, watching it, I was genuinely following it like I would. I was following it almost as closely as I would a Maverick series. And I felt as much rooting interest as I would a Maverick series. Where I was upset that Luka lost. I was upset the series ended for him. I hate the Lakers. I don't like LeBron. I don't like Austin Reeves. Like, there's a lot of guys I don't like over on the Lakers. I can't stand JJ Redick, but it's Luka, and I wanted to see Luka have success. I will continue to root for Luka his entire time in the NBA because that dude gave everything for Dallas and was committed to being here and was committed to winning a title here and had it basically ripped from him. So I want to see him have all the success in the world, and I want everything for Nico Harrison to go bad. I want Nico Harrison to stub his toe this morning.
From the 6'8".
I want him to step on Legos in his kid's bedroom.
From the 6'8", Luka looked like he was 400 pounds running on the court last night in the first half. For the 2'5", nobody cares about Luka anymore.
Not 817, true. 254, you're full. Like, 254, you can say you don't care. Don't say nobody cares. That's such a lie.
Let's see. From the 214, I'm so happy the Lakers lost and that Luka lost. Bobby playing up a narrative like a B. Luka would have given
us. Call me a bitch. Just call me it.
Yeah, Luka would have given us credit if he won the title. I agree with Bobby. I follow Luka like he's our own. I was disgusted by the ineptibility of the Lakers and their coaching staff. Fire Nico. He should have been traded, but they should have gotten more. Luka got cooked all series. So, celebrate the good times. Come on, Luka got eliminated. I'm bummed. Lakers are out. F Nico. We love Luka.
Boy, what was that? Those 2-3 burners Nico had access to this morning, yeah. Including a 2-5-4 number? Where'd he get that?
I will tell you this. And it was evident to me watching as many Laker games as I could find my way into this year after Luka got traded. It did not appear. Now, again, I could be reading into this too much, and it could be a lot of he doesn't feel comfortable yet, so he wasn't playing loose. Did it look like he was having any fun playing for that team?
I think he just, at times, yes, but no, not consistently. So first off, I think he was still devastated when the trade went down. And second, it was a reset. He's got to figure out how to play with new players again. Like, we talked about how long it took to find somebody that worked well with Luka on and off the ball. It's like, all right, he had Brunson for a little while, but then Brunson left. And then it was like, okay, Kyrie. Kyrie has settled into this. He's found it. They found their rhythm. And then it got yanked out from under him. And you're back through this whole process of trying to mix and match and find players that Luka plays well with.
Yeah. I just think, you know, it's just when you go to the Lakers or you go to the Yankees, those two franchises, because even the Cowboys are on that level, but they're not. I don't get the same feeling with them. The Lakers and the Yankees just feel too buttoned up and too businesslike. It's like, it's not
fun. I feel
that
with the Yankees. You feel that with the Lakers? I mean, they were Showtime. They were Magic.
Well, back
smiling.
Then, but not now.
So Luka or Kobe changed a lot of what was the serious nature of how things approached.
And Jeter did the same thing. You know, like it was just that serious.
When he wasn't in nightclubs, like George had accused him of being.
But I'm sure he was definitely in nightclubs. But it was it seems like the fun is sucked out of those two franchises.
Yeah, and I mean the fun was sucked out of Luka regardless wherever he went.
Yeah,
because he was going to be upset about that. I'm going to be interested to see if that carries over in early next year, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, because he was not good in the series. He was not good in the series. He was not tremendous ever since he went over there.
He was offensive. I mean, he was strong offensively for him.
Fine, yeah, but like he's still a liability.
He
defensively
probably
in the playoffs,
always will be.
And he probably always will be. Although his numbers were fine in the regular season, it's just when you get to the playoffs, everything changes. Everything.
817. Quit making excuses. Luka can't guard a launcher. Who's saying here? He's so good defensively.
We're not calling him Bruce Bowen.
No,
here,
we're
pal.
Saying Nico Harrison was a dumbass, and that it doesn't matter enough to move him is what we're saying.
That's it.
Open up your ears, 817.
Oh, it's my favorite segment of the day. The payload. Peyton Reds on the whole year, on the whole week. Ask Reddit is my favorite of the week. This one's creeping up there. The payload next to the fan.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
Ugh.
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. And like RJ said last segment, it's his favorite segment of the day. Maybe of the hour. Only,
of the hour?
Yeah. Okay,
it's
that's
definitely my favorite segment at 6:40.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. On Thursday, probably, right?
I think just in general during the week.
Well, guys, we have a major social media debate going on right now. And you might think, oh, this is kind of a weird, random debate. But it's taken over Twitter, Instagram, everything. One gorilla versus 100 men, who wins the fight? The simple answer is no, but I'll let you guys decide. You get 100 average men facing one gorilla, who wins the fight? It seems simple, but it's a debate that's been going on for a few days now. The guys on Inside the NBA, Charles Barkley, Kenny, and Shaq were talking about it last night as well. But who wins that fight?
The gorilla does. Yeah, that's a slam dunk. It is the gorilla. In fact, I did ask last night, I was making this point, and Kristen was saying, wouldn't it be the 100 men? I was like, no. I was like, let's ask ChatGPT. And so I said, can 100 men beat one gorilla? Ask ChatGPT that. And they said, no. They could not beat one adult male gorilla in a fight, at least not without extreme casualties and coordination. And they said that most of them would need to be trained fighters. Here's the thing. If it's 100 men versus one gorilla, it's really only going to be like eight men.
Right. Because you can't get 100 men around it.
You don't get the power and the like, you just have the others waiting on the periphery for their shot.
Who's the first guy that goes in? Because you know his head's going
to
be
snapped. I'll tell you, he's the first one to die.
He's the first one to get eaten. His head's going to be snapped in half.
That's why
sacrifice.
You mentioned in your email that you had your 10 that you were going to build with.
Yeah, I wanted to spice things up a little bit. I was like, if you got to choose your 100 men, could you then? Any 100 humans, they got to be non-fictional characters, human beings.
Alive?
Yes, they got to be alive. So if you could choose your 100 men, could they take down one girl? I think it's a debate. So I have my top 10. If I did my top 100, you know, that'd take forever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My top 10 guys to take down the gorilla. So here's number one, prime Mike Tyson. Easy.
Okay.
That's the number one overall pick. So you could choose fighters in this, but the list gets better.
But you're picking him in a different era than he's in now. Like, you got to fight now.
Well, that's not my list. So we'll go with my list. Prime. All right. Anyone that, you know, it's still alive, but you can pick any time in their era. There. How about that?
Okay.
So prime Mike Tyson's number one. Number two is Nico Harrison, but as a distraction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You throw in Nico, he gets taken apart, and then everyone else jumps on top of the
gorilla. I like
that. So Nico would be number two. Number three would be Draymond Green.
Okay.
I would have him fight the gorilla as well. He's vicious on the court. He can be vicious against the gorilla. Number four, Rugi Odor. Just got to put a Blue Jays helmet on the gorilla, and then, you know, there's no way the gorilla wins that fight.
This is good.
Number five is Myles Garrett, but after an altercation with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
you got to give him a helmet as well, but I think Myles Garrett could take out the gorilla. Number six is obvious, Khabib. You got to get a true MMA fighter in there. Get Khabib in there.
You know,
That's a
good one.
I made a list of 10. That's the first crossover name we have is Khabib.
I'd have gone with Yoel Romero if I was going.
Yoel.
He's had his neck fused. He can't move his neck. He just runs. He's like this just monster.
Yoel. Wasn't that how Randy Galloway used to start his shows?
Yo, and hello. But he just runs and his neck doesn't move. It's hilarious.
At number seven of my top 10 men that I would want in a fight with this gorilla is Nolan Ryan. Obviously, the Robin Ventura fight, I would take old Nolan.
Real quick, do you know why he fought so well in that fight? He said it's because, I think he said, Frank Robinson kicked his ass in a fight when he was younger. There was somebody that he was pitching against, and he plunked him, and they came out and kicked his ass, and he said he had made up in his mind the next time somebody charged, he could not be passive. And so he said he was actively thinking about that fight when Robin Ventura started walking towards
him. He was also an old man, and old men have strength.
Old man strength, yeah.
Number eight, Brittany Griner. I think after things with going overseas, you got to throw him in there, her in there. Number nine would be Chris Arnold. I think if you did Chris Arnold right now, this era, Chris could help take out a gorilla.
Chris would probably know him from back in the day. Just be like, hey, man, what's up? What's
Chris
going on?
Knows everybody.
He knows everybody.
Chris literally knows everybody.
The gorilla would just be like, all right, cool, Chris Arnold's
I've
here.
I've never met somebody who knows more people.
He's the Forrest Gump of radio.
Yeah. Seriously, if there's a story about somebody that is, I don't know, over 40, Chris knows him. He 100% has met that person.
Now, here's the funny story. On November 22nd, 1962, I was on the fifth floor. I watched Lee walk past me.
So, Chris, I mean, look, he'd be a four-time Hall of Famer after he took down the gorilla.
That's down.
And then finally, number 10 would be John Cena. Easy. You can't see him.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see him.
It's very tough. According to AI, they can lift and throw objects weighing about 1,800 pounds. They're estimated to be 10 times stronger than humans. Having the equivalent of 20 adult humans combined of their strength. Some reports say they can lift even 4,000 pounds in exceptional circumstances. Muscular build, large size, powerful muscles. You know, the chimpanzees also scare the hell out of you because they will eat your face.
Yeah, they're nuts. The chimpanzees are really aggressive. I wrote down the 10 names, Peyton. So first off, I think of the 10, you need to have people who are foolish enough to think they could win. So that's why the first two people I put on this list are Joe Rogan and Micah Parsons. Big guys who probably think they could beat a gorilla by themselves. Next, I need some blind anger. Okay, I need somebody, I just need rage. And so there's two guys that I know personally that I would put on here. One is Mike Bassick. I would tell him the gorilla called a kid out at second base last week who was safe, and he would lose his mind. Number four on this list is Sean Sharif, and I would tell him that gorilla just told us that you'd never be as good as Danny Parkins. And he would just lose his S. Number five on my list.
Your brother's better than you.
Number five on my list is Khabib. He fought a bear. That's sort of similar. Mm-hmm. Six.
Yeah, but was it a black bear? Which is the one that you're supposed to get scary?
Black bear you get big on.
But either way, it's a bear. They're soft.
Number six.
It wasn't a polar bear.
I need some plain old crazy in this group. That's why we're going to put Kanye West in there. Kanye West is going to be there to fight.
Crazy.
Number seven. I need someone to be a sacrificial lamb, waste some of the gorilla's energy. That's going to be Cam Scataboo.
Oh, yeah.
Cam Scataboo's going to
be... He would just run over him, though.
Yeah. No.
And he would do the bow and arrow thing in the, you know, after gaining 6 yards.
Cam might have stronger legs than a gorilla.
Number 8, I need a dude with crazy stamina and stubbornness and just believing he can do anything. That's David Goggins is who I would pick there. Number 9, I need someone who's going to irritate the gorilla and basically distract him by lecturing him about why they shouldn't be fighting at all. So that's Sean Penn. I'm going to have Sean Penn in there at number 9. And then number 10, I need a finisher to complete what the others worked towards. I'm going to go Tyler Smith. So Tyler Smith is in there to actually like physically dominate the gorilla at the end.
Very nice.
The 214, a couple 214s say Chuck Norris would be one of their guys in
there. Yeah,
you got to have Chuck in there. If I had a list of 11 guys, I would throw Chuck in there as number 11. But all right, it is the payload every Thursday at this time. Guys, the Kool-Aid Man challenge is upon us again. Do we know the Kool-Aid Man?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know they're doing the ice bucket challenge again. My kids were doing this the other day.
Yeah, and they're like,
where you nominate someone and then they got to dump the ice over
there. Yeah, like I don't think they're doing it for ALS this time.
That was always the thing that was kind of.
Is that funny?
Yeah, this was what was funny about it back then is that a bunch of people would do, and they really didn't know what it was for.
No.
They would do the ice bucket challenge and they didn't know it was for ALS. And they would go, what's ALS? And they couldn't tell you.
I don't care for how we've just decided it's not Lou Gehrig's disease anymore. Now it's ALS. I don't care for that.
I mean, it was always ALS and then it just was nicknamed Lou Gehrig's disease because
but that's,
of that.
You know, you want to have it to give it a better name. Like, you know, the Lou Gehrig's disease is a name everyone remembers. ALS, like, it's three letters.
He got Wally pipped.
He got Wally pipped by his own disease.
So the Kool-Aid Man challenge is back, and it has become an issue in New York City. This is a trend from a couple years ago that's now taken back over, where random people run through fences of other people's homes, and it's, you know, just seen like on TV, like with the Kool-Aid Man on the commercials. You know, he runs through and he goes, oh, yeah. And so this is a little clip from Inside Edition talking about this issue going on in New York City.
A group of people believed to be teenagers rammed their way through Ben Helwa's fence 2 weeks ago. Helwa believes a social media trend sparked the bold actions of the vandals.
We found lots of examples of knucklehead teens charging full speed into fences. These youngsters ran into the fence in unison, resulting in thousands of dollars in damages.
I was just in shock because, once again, like, these kids ran through the fence. They fled the scene. But, like, are the kids even okay?
The online trend called the Kool-Aid Man Challenge, inspired by a classic commercial from the 80s. Oh, yeah. The Kool-Aid Man breaking through walls, promoting the popular drink mix. Teens are imitating the sugary mascot for likes and views on social media, according to police.
I would like to see the kids try it in Texas. You know, you run through someone's yard in Texas you're not going to make it back out.
By the way, how strong are you that you're running through these wooden cedar plank fences?
It's New York City. I imagine they're worn down a little bit. You know, they haven't been redone.
I didn't even know they had wooden fences in New York City.
You're right. It's all apartments there. You know.
Yeah. Where are they going?
New York City has gotten soft. That's what I've determined. Because you know what? If you try that in Texas, I can damn sure guarantee you the person getting interviewed isn't going to go. But my big question was, are these kids okay?
Yeah.
Who gives a damn?
I don't
if
care.
They're okay.
All I care about.
They're trying to destroy your fence like the Kool-Aid Man. I don't care. I hope they got a concussion.
Yeah. If somebody barrels through my fence, my only question is not are they okay. It's do your parents have $5,000 to pay for my fence?
Yeah. Imagine
that's
that,
all I care about.
Imagine in that, you know, that fine. You know, they say, all right, parents, you know, you got to pay this $5,000 because your kid's an idiot here.
Yeah.
So
this is stupid.
It seems fun.
Some of these challenges are just dumb.
No,
some
they
of these
are.
Challenges
well,
are dumb.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous. But all right, guys, one last audio clip here. I found this morning. This is John Morosi, friend of the show, MLB Network. He was doing an on-field interview with Geraldo Perdomo of the Diamondbacks, and John is bilingual, so you know he's talking both languages here. He's asked a question in English, and then he'd say it in Spanish as well. And Geraldo did not have any of it.
Geraldo, how are you breathing after an ending like that? ¿Cómo respiras después de un final como así?
English, I'm American. Hey, what's wrong with you, John? Are you okay?
Todo bien.
Yeah, it was a great game. You know, it's big breathe for us. We hang over there in that situation. It's the same for me. Don't matter. It's no pressure. I got my blood is like frog. You know how the frog?
Right.
Cold.
Yes, yeah.
That's my blood, yeah.
Frío.
Friísimo.
Felicidades, Andorra. Gracias para tu paciencia con mi español y inglés también.
Okay, but next time, talk to me in English. I'm American.
He tripled down there at the end. He kept going.
He did it the first time. He kept saying it. Every time he goes, speak English to me, he then didn't.
Yeah.
John really wanted to talk Spanish, man. John, just let the guy talk Spanish.
John went to Duolingo or what was that other one? That
Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone. He learned Spanish. He's like, damn it. I am going to shoehorn this in any way I possibly can. I took the time to learn Spanish. I'm going to speak.
People are going to know it. Gregory over on the YouTube weighing in on the fences as we were talking about, because I was saying, man, New York's gone soft with that. Gregory says, Bobby, go to Harlem and say they're soft. Hey, dumbass, have you ever seen a white picket fence in Harlem? Like, clearly we're not talking about Harlem here, Gregory. We're talking about wherever in the suburbs in New York area where they still have, basically we're talking about Connecticut is what we're talking about,
Connecticut.
Gregory.
Connecticut's a good
spot. God, did that guy, play the clip of the guy again, Peyton. Does that guy sound like a resident of Harlem?
I don't know. Are you going to stereotype the residents of Harlem?
Youngsters ran into the fence in unison, resulting in thousands of dollars in damages.
I was just... shocked because once again, like,
yeah, that's Harlem, Gregory. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, John was so confident here, man. I mean, look, he was.
Paige is bringing it back on track. There we go,
Gavin the Foreigner.
There we go.
Just let him speak Spanish, man.
You can let him go. Yeah, John is like, I learned this for a reason. I'm going to use this. I am absolutely going to use this. There is the payload. Love it. Creeping up the list, Peyton. Creeping up the list on the favorite segments of the day. Sean and RJ 105 through the fan. Thanks to the 6 a.m. Club for kicking it with us. Did you see the video of the fan falling in Pittsburgh? And why you should actually not feel too bad about the Rangers' start to the year. It is Diamond Cavs, and it is next on the fan.